Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assemble!
Andrew Mason, normally mild-mannered. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, writing that the Broncos remain in a world of suck. Remember, it was Emmanuel Sanders who almost 1,200 days ago said the Broncos were in a world of suck? Ah, those were the halcyon days compared to what we're seeing right now. It is so bad. It is so bad around here that on a day in which the Broncos offense scored, again, another measly 16 points, I will remind people, if all the Broncos had done this year was score 18 points a game, just 18 points.
In regulation.
Just 18 points in every game in regulation, they'd be 9-1 right now.
Let's rock.
Think about that. But it's so bad that when they were... that after another game in which they only scored 16 points, they scored 4 touchdowns in 5 home games, that were like, hey, you know, I like to change to Kubiak. You know, the offense looked better.
Right.
That's how low we've sunk.
Man, it's depressing. It really is. 16. We scored 13 touchdowns in the entire season. 13.
Let's rock.
Mace writes that the Broncos culture is so bad right now that there's such an ingrained losing mentality around there that it's going to take a while to fix it. Do you buy that? Is the culture so bad that the hole is so deep that this could take years to dig out of? Just the culture part of it.
No, I don't buy that. I mean, you gotta have the right you gotta have the right people. You gotta have the right leadership in place. I know one thing: Tom Brady walked into Tampa Bay and they won a Super Bowl, team that couldn't win more than 8 games a year. I mean, I called those games. I've called a bunch of those games with Brady and without Brady, and the difference in that facility was absolutely incredible. It didn't have the same, you know, Russell has not had the same effect here.
James Merrillat at DenverFan.com writing, two plays define the debacle that is the Nathaniel Hackett era. The first was the fumble. And man, I can't disagree with that. You're talking about a scenario where if Melvin Gordon holds onto the football... Again, why was he carrying the ball 3rd and 1 from... Well, actually, he carried it twice. It was 1st and goal. No, it was. I'm sorry. It was 2nd and 3 from the Vegas 5. And he carried the ball for 2 yards. So he got a chance to carry from the 5, carried it down to the 3, 3rd and 1. And he would have had a 1st down. It would have been 1st and goal from the 2 or the 1. And you would have been... You would have looked at, and I would have felt confident at that point with what the Broncos had done the first 2 possessions, and then on that possession. Remember that drive? That was their 3rd drive. They scored on their 1st 2, and they started that drive at the 14. So they had marched 83 yards and were set to score. They would have gone up 17-7. It would have been halftime. And they would have had the ball coming out to start the third quarter with the kind of momentum that, you know, who knows? You go down and get another touchdown, maybe even a field goal. to start that third quarter, that's ball game over.
Right.
Spicy.
Yeah.
So that's the huge, that was a, so why, why is Melvin Gordon in there in that situation?
Why is he on
even before the fumble?
Hey, man, I like that dude. I cut him week two or three or four, or whatever it was. I cut him the year before. I mean, how many times do I have to cut the guy? So
then why are they still playing him in high leverage situations? Because even after the fumble, he was still out there in key sequences in the fourth quarter running the football.
Yeah. It's
why?
Mike, listen, when you figure that out, let me know. When you figure it out, let me know, because I have no idea why that guy gets to continue to play. It's just insane to me. Absolutely insane.
The other big play, coming out of the 2-minute warning, end of the game. It's 3rd and 10. Vegas is out of timeouts. If you run the football, or even if you try to throw the football, but it's not there, even if Russell Wilson just falls down, takes a self sack, that clock is going to run. You got to figure if you run the ball, or if you run around a little bit, the clock's going to go down to about, what, a minute 53?
Mm-hmm.
By the time the ball is immediately set, clock starts to roll. You're probably talking about the clock starting to roll maybe with a minute 49, 48. You don't have to punt until basically a minute left in the game.
Yeah.
And
you'd punt it with about a minute 10. So
even a little less than that. But okay, around that area.
Let's just say, because, I mean, you're going to snap it with, what, 4 or 5 seconds before it runs down. And so let's say they get it. Let's say by the time they get the return, they fair catch, whatever, it's right at a minute and two even. I mean, you know, what'd they get it with, a minute 48?
They got it with a minute 43 left at their own 22.
Minute 43. So, that's it's a 40-second difference, essentially.
And that's a play I put on Russ.
I do, too.
Because
I guarantee you, I promise you, they came out of a 2-minute warning. They discussed whether they're going to throw it in the game, whether they're going to run it. And within that conversation went like this. Listen, okay, we're going to try to win this thing. We're going to try to run this play, right? We're going to try to throw it and make this thing go. If it's not wide open, run it, take a sack, whatever. Let's eat this clock. But do not throw an incompletion. I promise you that was the conversation. I guarantee it. 100% that was the conversation. And yet, you roll out, you're on the move, and you just dirt one. I mean, come early. Just pick it up, go, get what you can get. Get down and let the clock run.
And it's like what I wrote about last week at DenverFan.com, that stubbornness and or selfishness by Russell Wilson is going to get Nathaniel Hackett fired. And the gist of my article was, yes, ultimately, the buck stops with the head coach. I get it. But it's not like Russell Wilson is doing a lot to help his head coach. And this is another example of it. Sure, that's situational football. Ultimately, that rests with the head coach, but I'm sorry, I don't put that on Hackett. I know that Hackett deserves a lot of the criticism he gets, but in this case, that's all on Russ. You're a 10-year NFL veteran. You have to know that situation.
Right. Yeah. Those two plays, I mean, to me, the Melvin Gordon...
That one you can put on Hackett, because why is Gordon on the team? Why is he out there in that situation?
Right. I would say the same thing. Why do we re-sign that guy? That guy leads the league in fumbles from the running back position since 2015. He's put the ball on the ground, fumbled it 25. These are fumbles that you know, I mean, these are like legit fumbles that 25 times. So that was 26 yesterday. And I'm not even talking about the fumbles that the ball comes out and, the ball comes out and they call it down by contact, or the ball gets poked out at the side, you know, on the sideline last week. So those are the things that I'm talking about. Like, it's just ridiculous.
But take that L on the way out.
Whoops, sorry, wrong one. But yeah, same thing. Yeah. Malone.
Yeah, you're right.
Malone encapsulates our feelings just perfectly right there. Cecil Lammy writing at DenverFan.com that the Broncos should either promote Ejiro Evero. Got the pronunciation right, I think.
Uh-huh.
Ejiro Evero. Or trade for Sean Payton. Well, if you're going to... Here's my take on that. If you're going to promote Evero, you got to do it now. Because at that point, why wait till after the season? Because all you're doing is bringing in another first-time head coach. And I don't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to do that this last time, this last coaching search cycle. And I definitely don't want to do it again. The Sean Payton one is interesting. And it was interesting. He was on the Fox halftime show, as he has been throughout the course of the season. Mark, you know Sean Payton pretty well. Does he strike you as the kind of guy who would want to coach Russell Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
He would.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because he's going to be in demand.
Yeah.
You think he would like the idea of coaching? Why? What about Payton's demeanor? What you know about Russ? Why do you think it would be a good fit?
Well, one, Payton's demeanor is there's one dude in charge, and that's Payton. And say what you will about Sean Payton, he's a tremendous football coach. He's tremendous. And I've talked to several people say best I've ever been around, you know, best coach I've ever been around when it comes to personnel groupings and exploiting defenses and how to use those personnel groupings and changing things up. So he's like, he's got a great sense about all that kind of stuff. And I think just the respect that Russ would have for him, he said, this is the way we do it. Let me tell you why we're going to do it this way. And this is not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. And I'm telling you the way it's going to be. And I think Russ needs that. I think he needs a little Pete Carroll in his life.
You just clinched it then. Then to me, you're not going to have a high first round pick this year. It's going to Seattle. And right now, be prepared to be sick, Bronco fans. Right now, that'd be the sixth pick in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably even go lower when the Broncos lose to Carolina next Sunday, because Carolina is one of the teams that's technically ahead of the Broncos when it comes to a even better pick for Seattle. So you have a first-round pick. You got the first-round pick in the Bradley Chubb deal. It's the San Francisco pick. That pick's probably going to be somewhere between 25 and 32. I don't need some right tackle or some middle linebacker. If I can use that pick to get Sean Payton, that's the only thing I'm interested in now moving forward. Seriously, there's nothing else that I'm really interested in when it comes to the remainder of these games, the season. To me, and you just gave a great description of Sean Payton and why we need this guy here. Use that first round pick to go trade for Sean Payton. That's the only thing that can salvage this year.
Right, and what do we talk about? I mean, I told you this. This is back meeting with Russell Wilson when he was a Seahawk, and I had asked him the question, "Who do you study? Like, who do you?" And one of his big answers, "I always study the footwork of Drew Brees. I'd always be like, yeah, that guy fast. Like, hey man, if that's who you're patterning,
yeah,
is that right? Yeah,
that's good.
Your game after, like, why not the guy that was the architect of that offense and the architect of Drew Brees' success? Like, you would think that that's one guy that, you know, that Russell Wilson would really, like, that really respect.
Now, the problem there is there's got to be competition, in all likelihood, for Sean Payton, because you know darn well that if the Cowboys spit the bit in the playoffs again,
mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy's out, and that immediately becomes probably destination number one. For Sean Payton. You know Jerry Jones at that point would gladly give up a first-round pick for Sean Payton. And with the Chargers losing again yesterday, and they're 5-5, come on, Brandon Staley? How much job security is he going to have after this season if the Chargers miss the playoffs? So Payton to the Chargers would probably be option number two.
That would be your number one. That would be... To me, you'd be your number one destination as well because of Justin Herbert.
Right.
Like, I mean, that young, I mean, super stud quarterback, like, that one just makes sense. I don't know what other jobs, there'll be a bunch of jobs open, but, hey, you know, Carolina, nobody wants to go there. Yeah, I mean, you got to look at...
No, he would look at being able to walk into a situation where he's got a veteran quarterback to work with. But if it's Dak Prescott, if it's Justin Herbert, if those two options are available, of course, that'd be more attractive to Peyton before you get to Russell Wilson. That's just the fact.
I don't know where Russell Wilson would be on the... If there's like 6-7 teams that become available, where the Broncos would be and Russell, with quarterback, where Russell Wilson would be in that list. He'd be behind those two for sure.
For sure. If there are vacancies there. Mm-hmm. So we got to root for... Then we got to root for the Chargers to win, and we got to root for the Cowboys to win. Ugh! Wow, I got to count on the Chargers Broncos not charging, and I got to count on the Cowboys not cowboying. Ooh, that's not good.
Broncos country got a lot of work to do.
a lot of work to do.
You got
to
start. You got to change your. You don't change your allegiance, but you change your rooting interests. How about that?
That is what's going on at DenverFan.com. I referenced Andrew Mason, and our Broncos senior writer at DenverFan.com joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Yeah, Mace, it is a world of suck that we live in right now. The question is, you wrote about the culture, and you were in that room, you were in that locker room afterwards after another just gut punch loss. How would you describe the culture around this team right now?
I mean, it's interesting because the locker room does not appear to be fractured and you don't really have a lot of finger pointing, but it's like, it's a locker room that's just, they're searching for answers. And it's like, okay, when this sort of thing happens week after week, when you have these close losses, when you're in a situation where one mistake seems to just kind of start the snowball rolling downhill every time, I think you have guys wondering, okay, is it something deeper than, rather than is it just, okay, we're, you know, falling a little bit short, we're making mistakes. Is there something deeper going on here that needs to be fixed? I mean, unfortunately, I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, this is, it's not just this year, it's, you know, it's the last few years. That's, I think, well, something that Justin Simmons was kind of alluding to, and they've made all sorts of changes and the results, stay the same. So I think there's I would describe the locker room as a kind of a soul-searching locker room right now.
Mace, is there anybody in that locker room? You know, we know Russell Wilson is, you know, all positive and things are going to be okay and it's great. Is there anybody in that locker room that's getting somebody's ass? Is there anybody that will just be like, this is unacceptable? And, like, you know, I mean, because sometimes you need a little fire and brimstone, and I just don't feel like they have any of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I would say in terms of demeanor, you know, Kareem Jackson, who's one of the team captains, is that sort of guy. We know that Courtland Sutton gave an impassioned speech to the team after the loss to the Titans. But I mean, that's a good question. I mean, there's no, this isn't like, several years ago where you had beyond Peyton Manning, you had guys like DeMarcus Ware and Aqib Talib who could really kind of light a fire under some guys. And the other thing is I'm not sure that even that you're going to get that from the coach either at this point. So it's a fair question. I'm not sure that person exists in that locker room right now.
Here we are coming up on 8:30, Mace, and Nathaniel Hackett still employed. If he was going to get fired, if this game, if losing to the Raiders again was the final straw, would it have happened by now?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think the reason why you always kind of in this situation keep your eyes on the early morning is that a lot of big moves tend to happen early in the day. I will say that when Josh McDaniels got fired, it was in the mid to late afternoon back in 2010. This is obviously a different administration running things now. But I also, when I was asked about it last night, I think asked about the chances of him being let go, I did put them at below 50%. And I know Yeah, obviously, that's probably not what a lot of fans want to hear. But, the question is always, what good is it to, what benefit do you get from letting go of a coach in season? And I think that's something that has to be evaluated. I mean, because usually firing the coach is kind of the white flag on the season most of the time. So that's something I think has to be considered here, because I'm not sure that this really would help this season, as it were. And look, when you don't have your first round pick, there's really no tangible benefit to tanking, basically.
Well, they do have two road games coming up here, at Carolina, at Baltimore. And if you lose both of them in embarrassing fashion, then three of your last five are at home. And then at that point, you have to start thinking about empty seats and no shows and all that kind of thing. And so from a business standpoint, maybe then you do make a change at that point. But I can see why the next two games being on the road, maybe you decide, hey, let's see if the change to Kubiak. By the way, what'd you think about the change to Kubiak? Was it a move that was necessary, and were you sort of encouraged at all by some of the early returns, even though they still scored 16 points? Did the offense at least look better?
First of all, it was absolutely necessary, because you had to try something. You're dead last in the league in scoring offense. I mean, if you were to do nothing, I think that would have been. Ridiculous. He had to try something to shake it up. And as for Kubiak, the thing that I thought was interesting is that for a good while, it seemed like the offense had a much better flow and rhythm to it, that it wasn't, in the play calling. It felt like they were, trying to establish the run a little bit more. They came out, they had some two and three tight end sets. I liked even the first play call. They come out in three tight end and they pass. And I think there were things that I liked, that, because if you pass out of a three tight set, then you're setting up an opportunity for some successful runs later on. So I felt like there was a rhythm to it that had not been seen before. But at the same time, in the second half, clearly there was a situation of diminishing returns as it went on. And at the end of the day, you had 16. And okay, let's say that you have the field, they have the field goal instead of having it blocked. It's still 19 points against a team that had never failed to get to this season to give up fewer than 20 points until Sunday. So that's something you also have to consider, that the competition. This is a game where you should have been able to pretty comfortably put up 20-plus, they didn't.
So, again, it's four touchdowns in five home games. How many touchdowns do they have on the season? Again, what's
13.
13 touchdowns. 13 touchdowns.
By the way, real quick, and just a one-word answer, if you know. I don't know if you know this, Mace. Who does Melvin Gordon have pictures of?
I mean, the thing is, they've tried to get to reduce Melvin Gordon's prominence, right? I mean, you go back to week four in Las Vegas, and he's barely out there. It was the Javonte Williams show early in the game, and Gordon came in as a relief back, and then he fumbled on the scoop and score that the Raiders had. And then Javonte Williams gets hurt early in the third quarter, and they have to put Melvin Gordon back out there. And you look at yesterday, part of the biggest reason why he was still playing as much as he was in the second half was because Chase Edmonds got injured and injured his ankle in the first half. And so you needed somebody, to come in on third down because you are going to kind of platoon things a little bit. I'll be interested to see what happens this week, because you didn't activate Marlon Mack. But he's still on the roster, and if you kind of follow the pattern of what happened after the last fumble, and because then he had the fumble against Vegas, and they bring in Latavius Murray, and they had to get him up to speed as quickly as possible. I have to imagine that Marlon Mack's going to be active next Sunday and is going to see some reps, but you might still see Melvin Gordon active because Chase Edmonds could be down for some time. So, That's where you are.
All right, Mace, thank you very much.
No problem.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, and he is presented, as always. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Coming up next, all right, I'm going to try this. Are there reasons to be optimistic about where a Russell Wilson-Clint Kubiak partnership could go? That's next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
I am looking for any silver lining I can, any ray of hope that I possibly can. So, how about this? The switch to Clint Kubiak calling plays. Right from the start, we saw Russell Wilson doing what you've been begging Russ to do all year, right, and that is take the easy completions. Take that first read underneath. Put the ball into your playmakers' hands. Let them try to go make a play. They were doing it. Russell's numbers were really good at after going up 10-0. He was 5 of 7 for 76 yards. At halftime, he was 13 of 15 for 148 yards. Mm-hmm. They only had the ball three times, but they scored on two and should have scored on three if Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble down by the goal line. So, did you see enough to be hopeful that this Russell Wilson-Clint Kubiak partnership could work and can grow in a way that by the end of the season, we can feel pretty good about where this offense is trending?
Yes. I saw using snap count. I saw them, you know, shuffling in from you know, under center to shotgun. I saw volume of run that was much better, even using the mid zone but off a pitch, right, to try to take advantage of fast flow linebackers. I saw a couple of wide zone stretch plays that I just haven't seen, and some of the stuff that comes off of that, some of the game and the play action stuff that comes off, play action from under center where you're actually, you know, faking and turning your back to the defense, and what that does for you, hides the ball for a minute. The defense has to refind you and refine the ball, and so it makes you stop your feet. Like, all these things that haven't been a part of this offense that I think were a big part of their success in that first half, and let's face it, should have been a 17-7 ball game going into halftime, getting the ball back. Like, that should have been one of those where you're walking. You give up that momentum. That to me was that was the turning point of the game where, like, oh here. And this is what bad teams do, and they're a bad team. Make no bones about it. The bad teams do this, and I used to say this all the time when we were good here in Denver and we were playing a bad team. Just wait for them to screw up. Just wait for them for some of the air to come out of their sails, because as soon as it does, that team, a bad team's mentality is, oh, here we go again. Not this again. Man, we're so close. We just did not. We're just not making that one play. Oh, that one. That's what bad teams talk about. The one play they didn't make as opposed to the plays they did. That's what bad teams do. And this is a bad football team. It's a bad football team. It's got a bad mentality. It's just got a losing culture, Mike.
You think Gary Kubiak's involved at all?
Oh, yeah. You mean, like, yeah, absolutely.
Is Gary Kubiak to Clint Kubiak right now, and was he yesterday and all week, in the same way that Mike Shanahan's still involved with Kyle?
Yes, yeah. Think about this, or hey, this is a situation, you know, if you get into this, like, Mike is really good about, like, being hands off and letting Kyle do his thing, but at the same time saying, here's just something to think about, here's something to look at, and Mike is looking at everything, you know, but it's just one of those sounding boards from somebody who really knows, really knows what they're doing.
Do you think he could have a more pronounced role moving forward? Like, I'm talking about, like, consulting with Hackett, consulting with Peyton, consulting with Rosper. I mean, are we looking at the Kubiak's role growing here? And I'm not talking about just Clint. To the point where, hey, if you're looking at an option of Hackett's got to go, but you don't want to take Evero away from the defense right now, that Gary could step in and be your coach the rest of the way.
I suppose that anything is possible. And, you know, Gary is a huge Bronco, man. That's what he is. So I think anything at this particular point is possible. Everything's on the table. Let's just say that. At this point,
yeah,
everything. If Jeff Saturday can get hired in Indy and that team can play with some passion and some grit and some guts, anything is possible.
Boy, if they had beaten Philly last night, yesterday, and he was 2-0.
They'd have knocked down the Peyton Manning statue in the front of the put Jeff in there, or at least put Jeff in
Bill,
in the Peyton Manning
statue. Poor Bill Cowher would have just fainted fast away from the vapors. He would have had the vapors.
Yeah,
the chin would have just exploded. Since 2015, the Raiders are 11-5 against the Broncos and 6-0 in the last 3 years. Raider Nation asks, how dare you even call it a rivalry?
Oof. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. That's where, Johnny, you play the, he's kind of got a point.
Yeah, right?
He's got a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does have a point.
Josh McDaniels, 2-0. 2-0 go. 2-0 against
nothing
the Broncos.
Like, nothing like complete and utter silence, crickets from Raider Nation until they come in here and beat the Broncos yet again.
Okay. Coming up, it is a Bronco Reaction Monday. A lot of fire. A lot of pitchforks and lanterns out there. We'll hear from you next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
A lot of reaction on the rumbleslot.com text line. Guys, Gary Kubiak's not going to come back. He's got heart issues. Besides, his family doesn't want to see him coaching again. He's only giving himself, his son, advice when needed. Yeah, I don't think he's going to come back and take that active of a role. Now, will he sit back and consult? Sure. Give advice? Yeah. Will his voice be heard, especially now that Clint's calling plays? Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Hey, at this point, they need as many cooks in the kitchen as they could possibly get. They need as many people who have good resumes and connection with this franchise to lean on to get advice.
Mm-hmm.
Did the move to Clint Kubiak, was that Nathaniel Hackett's last stand?
Yeah, the last move he could make.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it feels that way, does it not? I mean, like, what can you do now?
But do you disagree with me on this earlier, and I'm going to try once again to win you over to this this idea. Yes, I believe that Nathaniel Hackett, the coach, the football coach, the one who listened to his dad,
mm-hmm.
and the advice that said, hey, maybe it's for the best that you just coach the football team instead of having your nose buried in the play sheet, that you got to make this move to Clint Kubiak. I get from a football coach standpoint, X and O's standpoint, that was part of the motivation. I also do think, Mark, that part of the motivation was this might buy me some time. Because what I'm doing is I'm showing, hey, I'm willing to humble myself. I'm willing to try something new. I'm not just going to go down stubbornly doing the same thing over and over again. I'm open to making a change. Let's see how it works. And I think it bought him some time, but I think that that was part of the thought process. Knowing that if he went out there and coached that game yesterday and was the primary play caller and the same things happened and they lost again, it would make it very easy to fire him. But I think that this move on two fronts helped buy him some time.
Well, I don't disagree that it probably helped buy him some time, but I don't think that was.
You don't think it was part of the thought process?
I think the thought process is, man, I am getting buried. You know, I'm like you know how. Man, I talked to him about it. Man, he's upset. He's beside himself. And obviously, you don't ever go in thinking that this is going to come out. You know, it's going to turn out this way, but. The thought process, man, I'm going to do anything I can do. I'm just trying to help us get a win. One win. Like, this is how I get one win. And that was really, I think, purely the motivation. Not like, well, if I make this change, maybe it buys me another week. Like, I'm going to get fired anyway. Like, I'm not buying, you know, a week. I'm just trying to get one win.
He's still employed.
One win.
He's still employed right now. As of right now, he's still employed. Right. Do you think that if he doesn't make this change and they lose 22-16 in overtime and Russell Wilson with less than coming out of the 2-minute warning throws the ball away again instead of taking a sack and letting the run around and let the clock run down? Or do you think that if Nathaniel Hackett is the primary play caller and Melvin Gordon is in there fumbling at the 1-yard line? Are you as confident that he is still employed right now? I'm not.
Yeah. No, but again, I think there's, like, this is kind of a perfect storm situation because this ownership, it's not like this ownership group's been around for a long time. They just took over. So, you know, I think that's part of the deal, too, is that, yeah, it's not like they've been witnessing this from day one, you know, that like they haven't been around for the last 5 or 6 years. So I think they're taking their time as well just to feel.
Well, what about George Payton's role in all this?
Well, I mean, ultimately.
Why doesn't he? What, you know, he could fire Nathaniel Hackett. I just think you're minimizing the cover your butt nature. Mm. Of self-preservation here when it comes to keeping a job. We've seen plenty of general managers scapegoat their coaches with the idea that, didn't work out. You know, he's got to go, and we'll go out and find the next right guy.
Right.
So I think that this, from the moment I heard about this move, my first thought was, okay, smart, because you need to try to do something to kickstart this offense, but also smart because maybe this buys you some time.
But, I mean, I'm thinking from buys you some time, like what, a game, two games? Ultimately, to me, what does it matter? If it's not saving the season, if you're not going to save your job, you're just buying some time. I mean, my thought process is I'm trying to save my job. So I'm going to change this up. I'm not trying to buy myself another week or two. I'm trying to save my job, and I'm trying to do what's best for the organization. I want to win, and you know, ultimately, if it means giving up play calling, whatever it means, I'll do that. I have no problem doing that. I think to me, saying save, you know, buy you some time. Ultimately means I'm just trying to hang on for another week or two. I think he's trying to save his job. Does that make are we saying the same thing? Maybe I'm just not reading it correctly, because I think this was all about trying to get a win and trying to save my job, not trying to buy myself another week.
But I do believe the saving the job part of it was a separate thought to the benefit of this. You see what I'm saying? That,
yeah,
yes, it was with the idea of kickstarting the offense, but also as an added benefit, it might buy me some time because there's a lot of newness now. All of a sudden, right. Hey, there's all of a sudden things change. Things were new. New play caller, head coach is in a completely different role.
Right.
It's the first game. Okay, let's see how this thing plays out over the next couple of weeks. You see, where as opposed to just doing the same thing that you've been doing the previous 10 weeks.
I see that, but I just come from a more of a more of a I'm trying to save my job. I'm trying to win a game and help to save my not job. Not just when I hear, hey, let me buy some time. It feels like, hey, let me just get another 2 or 3 weeks here before they fire me. Like there's certainly, Mike, and I think we're probably saying the same thing.
It's a classic Zach buy. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. You're trying to win one game to see if you can, you know, you can salvage this and go on a run and thereby, you know, saving your job. So, yeah, I mean, I get where you're saying.
Time now for your injury report as the Broncos, well, they actually kind of came out of the game fairly healthy, but the injuries continue to pile up throughout the course of the season. We saw Baron Browning out there yesterday. You had some nice things to say about Browning during the broadcast, but I will point out again, for the second straight week, no Bradley Chubb, and for the second straight week, the fourth quarter pass rush has been non-existent.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know, for everybody who is quick to say, yay, Bradley Chubb, get out of here, who needs you? Well, for the last 2 weeks, there's been no fourth quarter pass rush.
Yeah, they had some pressures, but Derek Carr does such a good job of stepping up inside the pocket and delivering football. So yeah, I get what you're saying, but got to have a better rotation. And hey, for all the people that were on the why you signing Randy Gregory, that guy is never healthy. Well, you know, those people, you're right.
Your injury report presented by ZoomCare. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary healthcare clinics in Denver and Boulder today. So you did a great job yesterday.
Thank you, buddy.
Positive reviews. You covered all the key issues that we've been talking about that I think Broncos country really wanted answers to, and you presented it in a terrific way. And ultimately, you got 4 of the 5 phrases that pay in. And you basically did it in a half, which was very impressive considering that you had forgotten about the phrases that pay for almost the first half.
Yeah, that's it. It, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you. A lot of pressure on you, especially when you look down, you're like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
You got it. You got, by the way, you got getting spicy out here at 3:32 left in the first half. I was just about getting ready to text you because I knew you had forgotten. I know you well enough to know he forgot.
Yeah.
He forgot. I was getting ready to text you and have you look down your phone and go, oh, shoot.
Right.
But you figured it out on your own.
Right. We got all the quality ones from the commercial. I think that's the most important part, right? Like the it's spicy and here comes the airplane and big bite. We got all the good ones from the commercial. And that's really was the that's the thing that was most important.
Yeah, good job. Okay, relax today. Job well done. We'll turn things over to the Players Club next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.